Moment, mal sehen. I'm sorry, too late. I learned the Dragon Ball theme last night, but I forgot it now. But just imagine how sweet that would have sounded. Hello and welcome to the Explain Bro podcast for March 12, 2015. This is Mike Minotti and I'm joined by my brother Ashguy.
Howdy.
How's it going?
Good.
Good, good, good. So we got some nippids to talk about, the NPDs.
Some what?
Nippids. I've done that before.
Tidbits?
Nippids. I'm just pronouncing it phonetically. Get it?
Nippids?
NPD. Nippid.
Oh, wow. God, I had no idea what you're talking about.
When I said I pronounced it phonetically, what did you think I meant?
I had no idea.
Oh my god, yeah, so the NPDs.
Don't turn this around on me and make me sound like I'm dumb.
You're an idiot for not getting that. So yeah, we have those. Charter 4 got delayed, so other things to talk about. Then we'll talk about it again. Gaming, I got some things to talk about. Both of us can talk about Ori and the Blind Forest.
Yes.
Talk about some of the other new releases, including that. So let's get two things. Let's get to these NPDs.
Okay, you have them.
Oh, I sent you a link. I thought you looked at them. Well, so software is pretty interesting. What do you think was the number one game in February?
In February? Not much came out. Probably, was it Dying Light?
No, Dying Light came out in January. Well, it was number three still, which was a surprise. But, like, the big releases, The Order, 1886, Evolve. But number one was The Legend of Zelda, Majora's Mask 3D.
Oh, wow. Straight up number one. Good for them.
Right? It's kind of surprising. I don't think A Link Between Worlds was number one. Of course, I think it came out November.
Yeah, I think it's a good time it came out. Plus, I think a lot of people are in the same boat as you and I. They didn't play this back in the day for one reason or another.
Mm-hmm. And I think having the new hardware probably helped a lot. In fact, Nintendo said that it sold combined 395,000 copies of all the combined handhelds in February.
In fact, it even
claims that the 3DS was the best-selling system of the month.
That wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, and Sony says that it beat Microsoft, so kind of typical stuff, per usual. Other software, number two is Evolve. So Evolve's at number two. You know, with the high, you would think that Evolve should have beaten Majora's Mask, right?
Yeah.
But this is maybe kind of a sign that kind of what some of us have been thinking, that maybe this game wasn't going to be as big a deal as we thought it was going to be.
Right.
Which is
unfortunate, but hey, what are you going to do?
Then you got some usual suspects, Advanced Warfare at 4, Grand Theft Auto 5 at 5, NBA. But number 7, that new Dragon Ball Games universe.
Yeah.
Hey, Minecraft. Number 9, The Order 1886.
That's low.
It's a little, I mean, it charted, at least, I guess. It only had a week on there. But
okay, I'll give it that, I guess.
Yeah, so maybe not, it's not disastrous, but yeah, it's clearly not, the next Uncharted. Number 10, Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, so.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, good for it, huh? So yeah, it's a couple 3DS games. So it seems like the 3DS was the big winner this month. It would make sense with the new 3DS coming out and all that. Alright, so you want to talk about Uncharted?
Yeah, so delayed to the nebulous spring 2016 timeframe.
Ooh, damn it. Everyone was acting like, oh, well, obviously this is happening. I didn't see this coming.
Like, you did and you didn't, I guess. The thing is, and you and I talked about this before, Sony has been getting their release dates wrong a lot. And, there's the old saying, a rushed game is bad forever, a delayed game just doesn't come out for a few months and then is good. And yes, I want Uncharted 4 to be good, but Sony has, majorly delayed almost every major release first party of this console generation.
Right.
I think the only thing that came out on time was Infamous.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
so, what was it? Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, was Infamous supposed to be a launch game? Maybe not.
Maybe. I forget. Maybe it was. But, The Order was delayed. Drive Club should have been delayed. I mean, the free version still isn't out yet.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue here is, yes, Uncharted is going to be fine because that game's going to come out and be amazing. But as far as we know, there's really nothing for Sony to make their tentpole title for holiday this year.
Well, I did a story on this as kind of a follow up to the delay, just looking at what could be Sony's holiday release, and the only two real possibilities are like, there's a new Ratchet and Clank we know nothing about. It might tie into the movie somehow. And Tearaway, like the PlayStation 4 version.
Aren't they making a PS4 version of Gran Turismo?
No,
like, I think it's just
I think it's just
a port of the last one. I'm not saying it's a new one or anything.
I didn't see anything about that, but even still, you know, the problem is that this Christmas they're gonna have to go up against Halo 5.
Yeah, and Tomb Raider.
Oh, right. Ouch. So it was one thing last year, because we were talking about last year how Sony didn't really have any exclusives for the holiday.
No.
But at least last time, Microsoft didn't have anything incredible either. They had Master Chief Collection and Sunset Overdrive.
Yeah.
Which both
had Forza Horizon 2, we'll be fair.
Well, that was like August or September. So was
it was October.
Was it? Okay, my bad.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so Microsoft had more going on software-wise. And that with, you know, the $50 price drop helped too. But like, those were the only 2 months that the Xbox One beat the PlayStation 4 was November and December last year.
Yeah.
Or at least it seems like the only 2 months. And I feel like it's going to be another good holiday for Xbox One right now, just from us. I mean, everyone's going to want to, you know, Halo 5 is going to be a big deal. Uncharted 4 would have been a big deal. It would have been, I guess I'm kind of disappointed too. It would have been super interesting to see Uncharted 4 go
against Halo 5. Yeah, see those go against each other.
Halo 5. That would have been really kind of neat. But yeah. So, but, and again, it's not like Sony can just announce something now that's going to surprise, like, oh, well, that's coming out this holiday. I don't know. It's kind of weird.
Yeah, like, it is always possible that at E3, they're, and that's like, you know, coming this Christmas, here's this game we kept hidden.
Yeah, Last Guardian coming out of nowhere to save.
That's the big hope.
That could help.
Just think about, like, think of all of, like, you know, all of Sony's core franchises. Like, aside from Ratchet and Clank, which I already mentioned, what could it be? We've had an Infamous, we had a Killzone.
Well, the problem, too, is, yeah, even as I say those, they need some new core franchises, don't they? Besides things made by Naughty Dog.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of funny. Like, I feel like in the PS3 generation, everyone was like, oh, but Sony has such a strong core first-party games. I'm like, yeah, I guess, but, like, do they? Because they all kind of came out already, and they're fine.
Yeah, well, I feel like Infamous is a little underrated. Killzone's probably rated right where it should have been.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're probably not going to get another Resistance.
Like, do they drop another God of War on us or something?
I guess that is the big... Oh, they have to. They have to. That's
yeah, but by Christmas?
Not by Christmas, but that's a big card they're playing, for sure. For sure. We'll probably hear something about that at E3. There's no way. I mean, come on. When I say it, right now, when you think about Sony franchises, you probably think Uncharted and God of War.
Yeah.
That's what they got. But yeah, it's going to be like last year. Like, the biggest games this holiday are going to be like Metal Gear Solid 5 and Final Fantasy 15 that comes out, you know, and Call of Duty. But, you know, at least Microsoft will have one of them this time with Halo.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it seems interesting to me. What else? So... Respawn guys were like, oh yeah, Titanfall 2 is coming, but everyone already knew that, and like, everyone's running the story like, Titanfall 2 confirmed! Because it kind of wasn't all that confirmed.
Yeah, like, they had always kind of nebulously spoke in the past that, like, yeah, when we do Titanfall 2, it'll be multi-platform, and it'll come to play us, like, PlayStation 4, and they said as much again this time, too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's shocking. A sequel to a successful franchise?
Well, again, this is, like, this thing. Everyone, like, is writing about Titanfall 2 and, like, oh, and, like, hopefully it'll be better than Titanfall 1, ha, ha, ha. And I'm like, what is everyone's problem with Titanfall 1?
Yeah, fuck these people.
Everybody's always like, oh, it's like a ghost town trying to find a game. It's not. There's always, like, someone else, like, in the comments or whatever, like, you can play a game right now. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Plus, we should mention, the game did have its one-year anniversary yesterday, and they made all the map packs free.
I was excited until I realized this was, like, the only time I actually bought the season pass for a game.
But it's cool because now, like, you know, if it is the case that the player pool's drying up, well, this is a great way to reinvigorate it. Mm-hmm. You've clearly peaked in your sales of this. It's. I think it's just a smart thing to do all around.
It's probably the best Xbox One exclusive until about, yesterday.
Yeah. it was just funny because Jeff Grubb in Time Hop showed up, like, a video he posted from when the game came out a year ago. It's like this crazy capture the flag run. And my response to that tweet was just game of the year. And hey, what do you know? It was for me. Yeah. So, yeah, No one talks shit about Titanfall, and I'm very excited to see what they do for Titanfall 2.
Yeah, me too. So, I think we're gonna get an actual campaign, and I think it'll be kind of neat.
Yeah, it'll probably be at E3.
Yeah. All right.
2016 release. I'm on board.
You want to talk about Ori?
Yeah, so I could stop talking about it and I could go back to playing it.
Yeah, so I reviewed this, and I saw this game back at E3, and I remember even then, I was like, man, this game looks pretty, like, cool. Mm-hmm. And, you can see how good the game looks by watching a video of it. It looks like Rayman Legends, but, like, whereas Rayman Legends is kind of, like, goofy.
Like a Saturday morning cartoon.
This is, like, I don't know if artistic word, but yeah, it's more...
It's very kind of... If Miyazaki did watercolors.
Yeah. It's almost kind of like Miyazaki meets, like, Lilo and Stitch or something. Which mm-hmm. is funny, because the character of Ori is pretty much literally just Stitch mixed with Mew, the Pokemon.
Yeah.
But the game just, like, looks good, and it just looks like a cartoon. And, we said that about games before, but this one is,
yeah, like when the animation of the characters begins in the beginning of the game, like, I'm trying to think, like... Is this hand drawn? Is this some kind of just 3D model being manipulated? Like, it's too smooth. Yeah, but no, good. Like, it's all like straight up 2D sprites.
Oh man, it looks so.
I think maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But man, I think
it might be almost like what Guilty Gear Xrd did or whatever. I don't know.
But, I don't either. But it looks really good.
But it looks so good. But the big surprise is that, like, it just plays amazing too.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a great send up of Super Metroid and Symphony of the Night. But whereas. Like, more so than those games, it's a little more focused on the platforming.
Yes, it's very much about the mobility.
Which I love. Oh, my God. It's so good.
So very much like that kind of, like, Mega Man X kind of wall climbing and jumping and stuff like that. And all of, like, the abilities you find are just they're mobility ones, which are cool. And, like, towards the end of this game, like, you're just zipping around going nuts. It's fantastic. Just, and what I love about it too, it's funny because this is something that some people complain about. It's challenging, which is so nice.
This game has one of the most unique and interesting save systems I think I've ever seen in a game.
It is ingenious. So yeah, so like the way you save is you have like a meter. It's an energy meter, and when you can use it up to do two things: to do like a powerful charge attack or to create a save point. And when you create the save point and you die, you zip right back to it, almost like Super Meat Boy, where it's like you die, you're back. So it kind of becomes – so it's cool because you get that gratification of the easy restart, but it's a gameplay mechanic, so it doesn't feel cheap. And, it's something you kind of have to be aware of. And that energy bar only refills if you find, like, more energy, like, by attacking a plant here or stuff like that. So it's like – it's a mildly precious resource, especially earlier in the game before you find more orbs and increase your limit. But it's great. And plus, that's also where you create, like, the shop where you can spend your experience points. And you have to...
Yeah, so even when you level up, you almost have to burn one just so you can buy a skill, you know?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's cool. It's like, do I want to use, do you want to just use one as frequently as you can because you don't know when you're going to come across something tough? And then when you find something hard, you can kind of create one. And, there will be times like, oh, I haven't made one in a while and I died. I have to retrace my steps a little bit. But it's cool because it's not like usually you're mad at the game like, oh, there wasn't a checkpoint by now. But now it's like, oh, I forgot to make a checkpoint. I'm an idiot.
Yeah, it's super brilliant. Like, mm-hmm. What a great idea. Like, it's cool because it's tied into gameplay. It makes death meaningful in a game with unlimited lives. Like it's just so smart. Everything about this game just feels smart.
Constant sense of progression, because you have the defeating enemies gives you experience. You can find like little orbs that give you extra experience hitting around, and then you have the three kind of skill trees. The one boosts like attack stuff. It's not just boosts like stats. Like you'll get new abilities that way too. The one is kind of
mostly attack abilities.
The one kind of helps, like, navigation and stuff like that to make it easier. Another one is, like, again, more mobility stuff. So, you get, for instance, like, the triple jump is something you get in the skill tree. And it's something that you don't necessarily need, but, man, does that help. Or, like, being able to breathe underwater or just, powering up your melee attack and stuff like that.
And I think also the soundtrack deserves special mention because it is gorgeous.
It's almost kind of like Kung Fu Panda, but not, like, in a... That it's that Eastern, but it's mystical, you know what I mean?
Yeah, like if Kung Fu Panda were not Asian.
Yeah, right?
But, I found out the album was on Spotify today, and I literally played the album on a loop my entire workday. It's great. It's kind of nice, chill work music, honestly.
Yeah. And I like, too, that it doesn't cheat with, like, with, waypoints or anything like that. You can't teleport around the map. It is kind of old school. You have to get around. But the map is so well designed that, you know, usually it's not that far of a trek because things are interconnected so well. Did we mention how good the game looks? It's kind of hard to overemphasize. Like, when you think about, like, some of the best winning games, you think of, like, your Wind Wakers and Journeys and Okamis, whatever. This is right up there. This is fantastic looking. It hurts. It's so good. But, yeah, I mean, this is... How far... Did you have, like, three objectives. Did you beat, like, the first one yet?
No. I didn't get to play a ton yesterday. What's the last thing I did? I completed the first map stone and... I did. That's kind of like the last big thing I did. Yeah, I know. I know. I've scratched the surface and I'm already in freaking love with this game.
It's so good. It's so good. And, the first 10 minutes are fantastic too.
Oh my. It's like it, I would dare say it's the up of video games.
Yeah. It was good. I was like, so good. Yeah. If this is Xbox One PC, you should.
Yeah. If you have an Xbox One, buy it. If you have a PC that can run it, because apparently it's actually kind of steep in the requirements. Buy it. I guess it is coming to 360.
Yeah, which I almost find hard to believe. But
yeah, me too. Maybe I bet you'll just be at 30 frames per second.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And the frame rate does dip sometimes. There are some technical issues. Some people are reporting crashes and stuff. But you know, you forgive it when the game's this good.
Right.
But yeah,
kind of pretty good.
Especially with Uncharted 4 delayed, it's kind of an early game of the year contender for me. Really love Ori.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about this too, because when I was thinking to myself, like, oh, what are going to be the PlayStation games this winter? I could already hear the Sony Defense Force being like, oh, well, the indie games that Sony puts out, fuck your indie games. This is an indie game, and it's probably going to be the best game I've played this year.
It's kind of funny, right? That it's kind of all we hear from Sony, even from Nintendo, is indie game, indie game, indie game, and then the best indie game released on any of these systems comes out on the Xbox One.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of like, the last time I felt playing one of these games was probably with Braid, which, like, almost kind of innovated the modern indie game in a way. But there's nothing indie about this. Even with Braid, there's things that were like, oh, well, this is, like, cute, one person made this. This, right, or whatever. But this
I mean, this feels like
this feels like a triple A production.
Yeah, well, like you said, this isn't like a bunch of college kids in a dorm. Like, this is professional developers who broke off and formed their own global studio. It's not centralized or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, like, yes, they are independent. Microsoft published it. I don't know if you looked into Moon Studio much. Before they started this game, they were working on some kind of first-person shooter real-time strategy hybrid.
Hmm.
They put a prototype video of it up in 2010, and it was kind of forgotten about. It didn't look all that great, frankly.
Yeah, well, this game could be like they could put this in every reel for like demo reel for Unity going forward, because.
Is it Unity? Is that the underlying engine? It's Unity. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Which is quickly becoming one of the big forces.
Yeah, I always associate Unity with, like, cheap, kind of, like, not-for-real games when it was new.
It was marketed early on as kind of, like, an indie tool specific.
Yeah, I think I just saw that bias in my head. So when I hear, like, of, like, big games using Unity, I'm like, well, they couldn't go with Unreal.
Well, all these things are free now, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, right.
It's just preference at this point. I beat Majora's Mask.
Congrats.
Yeah.
You did it.
Got that one off the bucket list. That was good. I'll tell you what, if you think that that's the best Zelda game, though, you're a little crazy. I mean, it was good. I liked it, but it's probably on the lower end for me in the series. I was kind of saying this before. It's just, you know, my favorite part of the series is doing dungeons and stuff. This game only has four of them.
Yeah, that's not the emphasis of this game.
No, you're spending a lot of other time doing other things. I appreciate it for being different and weird and all that stuff. You know, it's funny. I had the same thing in all these Zelda games where I'm doing a lot of side stuff for a while. Then at a point, it's like, I just want to beat. As soon as like the end is kind of in sight, I beeline for it.
My issue with Skyward Sword.
Right. I'm like, and you know, that part of me is like, well, maybe I'm making a mistake. Maybe I'm, oh, never mind. I beat the final boss easily. So whatever. Then I guess I beat it. Because, like, you know, it kind of sucks as, you know, like, that fierce deity Link. You can only get that if you have all the other masks and do another kind of thing. So I didn't get to do that. But, you know, I also just beat it and I'm kind of done. I wonder how... I'm curious now because Codename Steam comes out tomorrow. I wonder how good it's going to be.
The demo is fantastic. I just have too many 3DS games unfinished to really justify picking it up on day one.
If the reviews are, like, glowing tomorrow, I think I might get it day one. Otherwise, I might wait a little bit.
Have you played the demo?
No, I haven't, actually, which is
you
fine.
You should try it tonight.
Well, at this point, it's
give
fine.
A shot.
At this point, I almost like the idea of going into a blind if I'm going to go into it.
I think it does that thing where your save carries over and you get some benefits, too, or something.
Oh, fancy.
Yes, yes.
I'm revealing Mario Party 10.
Can you go home again, Mike Sorsen?
Dude, they made some changes to the series. I don't know when it happened because I haven't played one since like 4. Do you know that like the people don't move independently on the game board anymore?
Yeah, that's weird.
Like everyone's on a train together, and like when you roll, the whole train moves, and just like whatever spot you land on applies to you, and then the next person rolls. It's weird. Also, at least it is a Nintendo game though that has like gamepad support, like asynchronous gamepad support. So, like, there's, like, a mode where, like, the one person's Bowser, and he's chasing everybody. It's kind of what you think, like, there's minigames where Bowser's doing his thing on the gamepad or whatever. The thing that amuses me the most are there are times when, like the other players will come to, like, a cross in the roads, and, like, it's, like, covered in mist, but Bowser could see everything on his screen. Like, the one's covered in red spaces, the other one's colored in blue. So, like, I drew a line on the one covered in red and drew a smiley face, and was like, this way. And it's just stupid because it's really just like, you know, 50-50 either way.
It's like, guess, yeah, it's like I the most basic thing you could do for asynchronous multiplayer.
Right.
Like asymmetrical,
point,
I'm sorry.
At one point, I literally just wrote, fuck you, figure it out yourselves. And then they just picked the wrong one. it was amusing.
Yeah.
So I'll be revealing that fully and completely at some point. What about you? Play anything else?
Don't think so. Oh, no, I did. I played the demo for Scream Ride, roller coaster game that came out on Xbox One.
Yeah.
Didn't you say you got a code for it?
Yeah, I haven't actually gotten around to it.
I kind of like it.
Yeah.
There's three kind of basic modes to this game. The first one, it's like you're riding roller coasters, but they're... I've heard it likened to, and this is a pretty good analogy. Remember that game on the Super Nintendo where you were a unicycle? What was it called? Uniracers?
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine a 3D Uniracers.
Oh, weird.
So, like, the whole trick of it is that you're trying to, like, accelerate the coaster car as much as you can without the G-forces making the car tip off the track. But you get bonus points for being on two wheels, so you're, like, you're trying to kind of counterbalance everything. Yeah. And then there's, like, boost pads and goofy stuff like that. So it's, like, kind of a racing game in that regard. Then there's the destruction mode where you have, like, these launch pods that you, like, you pick a speed. It's just, like, a swinging arm. And then you can just launch it. And you're just blowing up buildings and trying to hit targets. But the destruction physics in the game are actually very, very impressive. Hmm. It has an odd feeling of Burnout. The old crash mode in that, if you remember it.
Yeah.
Where you're just trying to... cause as much damage. In fact, even when you've launched even like when you launch the pods, it's like it calls it aftertouch, where you can kind of control the pod in the air a little bit. Okay. And then the final mode is building roller coasters, and that's kind of straight up roller coaster tycoonish in a way. You're not building a whole park; you're just building individual rides, but you are trying to get that balance of like intensity and thrill and nausea, and it works really well. Like, it's pretty good. I think it's a neat little game, actually.
Cool. Maybe I'll have to try that finally.
Yeah.
We'll talk about some other recent releases.
Yeah, what else is up there?
Every time I look at here, there's like one of these Atelier Shally things. This one's for PlayStation 3 on Australia, so never even mind that.
Yeah, never you mind.
Hotline Miami 2 for PC, PlayStation 4,
Vita. Did you ever play the first one?
I never did. Everyone liked
it. Me neither.
This one's supposed to be better. So, it's supposed to be good.
Yeah, I've just never played it.
Yeah.
I think I might own it somewhere. It was free at some point.
So, City Skylines came up for PC. This is pretty
I'm intrigued.
This is like, oh, it's only $30 too. It's like kind of what SimCity's, the new one, should have been. You could build a giant city. Like, the one kind of complaint I've heard is that it's way more Sim than it almost is a game, even. It's not very gamified.
But that's okay. I think that's what SimCity fans want.
Kind of, yeah. So it looks very, like, just, yeah. So there's, like, no, like, disasters or stuff you have to, like, respond to. Like, a tornado's not going to come through.
Well, did you see, like, there's the one video that's kind of been going around today where a guy was, like, building a dam, but he wasn't careful about it, and he ended up flooding half his city.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, cool stuff like that happens. Yeah,
it definitely looks pretty.
Mm-hmm.
So Assassin's Creed Rogue came out for PC.
Oh, yeah, that game.
Well, interesting.
That happened.
I was going to... It's nice, because now I can know maybe someday I can get this for, like, $2 on a Steam sale.
Right.
Okay, there's that Atelier Shally game. It did come out in America, too. How about that? DMC Devil May Cry Definitive Edition for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. So, this is kind of... You know, this is interesting, because every time, like, I see the critics review this game, they always love it. And it seems like the fans still... Like, the fans hate this game.
Right.
And I remember playing a little bit of it, and I liked it a lot.
Demo I thought was pretty good.
I haven't actually played it. It's almost kind of tempting. Because there aren't a lot of very good action games on the Xbox One or PlayStation 4, you know?
Yeah.
So, that's something. Episode 2 of that Resident Evil Revelation 2, or Episode 3, excuse me, whatever the hell. Oh, and Ori and the Blind Forest, PC, and Xbox One, probably the best thing to come out this week. I'm
going to
go ahead and guess that, so... All right, I think that's it. Oh, I mean, of course, tomorrow we have Codename Steam.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, that'll do it. All right. Well, so, yeah, the big takeaway this episode is you should go play Ori and the Blind Forest, because I thought it was fantastic. Got it. It's one of those games where, like, it just kind of, I mean, it's not, I think maybe a couple times a year, if that, I'll have a game where, like, I'm just constantly playing it, enjoying it, and when I'm not playing it, I just wish I was playing it, and that's kind of how I felt the whole time.
Yeah.
Fantastic stuff. So, hey, yeah, check that out, and check more of us out. You can go to ebpodcast.com, find out our old episodes, follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and be sure to go to iTunes Music Store and leave us a review. We always appreciate that. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. You'll find us next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye.
Bye-bye.